I want to speak on a subject today, remaining faithful. Remaining faithful. And to me, that is the most prominent thing that one can do when you walk with the Lord. Right. Remaining faithful. Oh, we hear about remaining faithful to our marriage. Very important. We hear about remaining faithful to a friendship. Very important. We hear about remaining faithful to a commitment that we've made. Very important. We hear about remaining faithful to an employment that we may be part of. Very important. And we hear about remaining faithful to receiving help and being faithful in that help also. But one thing that we don't talk a whole lot about is remaining faithful to our Creator, to God, who has created us, who is our God, who we just sang these wonderful words of praise and worship to. Remaining faithful to the promises of God that He has bestowed into your life. You see, I believe if we remain faithful, our life stays pretty well in order. Even keel. The enemy doesn't get a foothold to shatter your dreams or your hopes or your fears or anything else. He does not have the conquering power because you have remained faithful to what the Lord has promised you. And remain faithful to what you believe you have promised to God. You see, it's a two-way street. God is faithful to you and I, but we need to be faithful to Him. Right. We can't be like marriages that are so destroyed today to where one decided that they don't have to be faithful, but the one that they're married to has to be faithful to them. It's not like that with the Lord. We need to be faithful to Him, and He will be faithful to us in every area of our life. So I want you to turn with me to a very important text this morning over there in Luke in chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. But anyhow, as you've turned there now, let me read with you Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. This is a very famous scripture in the Word of God with a lot of detail. And a whole lot of importance to us today in the world we live in. Starting with verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Let me say this to you. He didn't fear God. He really didn't care about God, this individual. Did not care about God, didn't fear God, wasn't worried about God. He was self-centered. He was his own God. And he didn't regard men. He did not care. He was a judge. He was going to pass judgment on someone's life. He did not regard the personality or the character of that person. He was doing his job. It was all about him. Let me continue. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. That's an amazing set of scriptures right there. In other words, if I don't help her, she's going to wear me out. And I might have to start regarding God. I may have to start caring about people. This woman, this widow, is going to wear me out. If you went back to 2 Kings in chapter 4 and verse 1, you would remember the scripture of the widow that lost her prophetic and prophet husband. And she went to Elijah and asked him what he could do for her. The same type of a situation. Of course, she went in 2 Kings to a prophet that had compassion and care, and he asked, "What do I have to give you? What can I do for you? What is it that I have that you need?" And he gave her instruction to go out and get vessels from all the neighbors and then go behind a closed door, that a miracle would happen behind a closed door. And we've learned from that scripture that sometimes God just wants you to get into that prayer closet, just you and God, so he can give a miracle to you behind a closed door. Kind of a private audience with God, that he would bless you and speak into your life. But this woman was not giving up here in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. She wasn't going to give up. She wasn't taking no for an answer. I want to say to you today, too many people take no for an answer too quickly. The no you might hear isn't God's no. It may be the devil's no.
That's right.
Interfering with what God wants to do with you, but you have a will, and you've chosen to listen to the devil's no instead of being faithful to God's yes.
Right. Hello.
Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" You know, one of the things that I think that is really important that we understand today is to get this proverb in your mind. Because if you don't fear God, you're not going to have wisdom, and you're not going to have understanding or knowledge. Too many people sit in pews today. "I don't really understand this next statement because it doesn't make sense to me, logically or unlogically. It just simply doesn't fit anywhere in this mind that I have." Why people go to church and don't fear God? Why people even be involved in Christianity that don't fear God? The Bible is very clear in Proverbs 9 and 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Our whole relationship with God is not based on fear. It's based on love. But we have a reverential fear of God, because the Bible even declares this. God says this: "Don't fear the enemy of your soul, but fear the one that can put you in Hades." God loves us. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to walk upon a cursed earth. In 3.5 years of public ministry, 30 years of private ministry, and within that 30 years, there was one incident of public ministry to where he was in the temple explaining the law to the Herodians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and literally in the scribes, and he was explaining who he was at 12 years old. And then that's all we know, except for the one incident in a manger where he was born to the Virgin Mary. And then, of course, we should go back to where it was spoken to Mary into her life, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would become impregnated by the Holy Spirit and give birth to Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And of course, we can talk about Jesus a little bit in the dream that Joseph had. And he didn't know what he was about to do, because he was going to leave this teenage girl friend of his that he was going to marry because she was pregnant and he hadn't been with her. And according to the law, it was over. It was done. But God gave him the knowledge and the wisdom. So we firmly believe in our heart that there's a God who's greater than all of us put together, who loved us so much that he looked beyond our frailties and our weaknesses and our sins, our divisions, our schisms, our attitudes, our prejudices. He looked beyond all of that and still loved us. Oh, if we could just have one small, minute characteristic of God in that area of our life, to look beyond the weaknesses of others and stop building up our own strengths that we could walk upon others, but that we would actually walk with the Lord in humility and praise and prayer. So, you know, we look at these scriptures and we understand that, number one, there should be praise. Praise simply acknowledges God. It acknowledges God by saying, I believe you are the author and the finisher of my faith. You are the author and finisher of all faith. You're the captain of my salvation. As a matter of fact, you're the high priest and the apostle of my calling. As a matter of fact, you're the anchor of my soul. You're everything. You're the access I have into the very throne of grace. You are the King of kings and the Lord of glory. It's because of you that the curtain rent from the top to the bottom, 3 inches thick, with cloth just rent from top to bottom. It's because of you, Jesus, I'm able today to even worship you and to praise a holy God. It's because of you, Jesus, that I'm able to understand that I am healed by the blood of Jesus. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I am delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's your love that has cleansed me, rinsed me, and I am washed by the water of the Word. And it's because of you, God, I am regenerated. I always like to say it this way. I was generated and it got broke and now I'm regenerated. God helped us and blesses us and strengthens us. And secondly, we not only should praise, but secondly, we should pray. Prayer strengthens faith. It reminds us of the existence of faith. You know, I always can tell when people don't pray because they have no faith. When you pray, you have faith because you're spending time with the author and finisher of faith. You're spending time with the one who is faith. You talk about faith. How'd you like to walk down the Via Dolorosa with everybody spitting at you? You're all beat up. You're scourged. You don't look too pretty that day. Simeon is carrying your cross because it was got just too heavy for you. And the next thing you know, you're getting nailed to a cross. You're not getting tied to a cross like everybody else did that day. You got nailed to a cross. You get hung up in a cross and they put that cross heavily down into the hole. And as it puts down into the hole, your flesh rips. You got faith. You're still there. Because he looked down the road and saw you and I. For we were yet in sin, he died for us. When we were yet in darkness, he rose for us. When we were yet in darkness, he is interceding for us. He is able to save all those who come to God through him, for he ever intercedes for us. Amen. So we are thankful today that there is an author of faith and a finisher of faith. There's a beginning and an end in our life, and that's Jesus. But he's calling us into his life one day, where there was never a beginning and there is no such thing as an end, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We should look at this and say, you know what I'm thinking? I better start praising. I better keep up my praying. And not only that, but the third thing we've got to take from the scripture is this. We should always remember our purpose, our destiny. Not everybody is called to be a preacher. Not everybody is called to be one of the fivefold offices of the church. Not everybody is called to be a mother. Not everybody is called to be a father. Not everybody is called to be an educator. Not everybody is called to be a teacher. But let me tell you something. Everyone is called to do something while they're on this earth. Everyone has a destiny in their life. And the enemy of your soul will do all that he can. God will bankrupt heaven to save you. The devil will try to bankrupt hell, but he doesn't have much to work with. But he'll try to bankrupt hell to try to keep you from fulfilling your destiny. Remember what your purpose is. Your purpose gives foundation to your goals. If you don't have a purpose, you don't have a foundation. If you don't have a purpose, you don't have any goals. If you're heading for a restaurant and you don't know where it's at, you may end up at McDonald's. And that would be terrible. Especially if you were a Burger King fan. You know, you may just find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time because you didn't know where you were going, but you know you were going somewhere. Amen. What I'm saying, you need to wake up this morning, every one of us, and say, where am I headed? Am I on the track going to where I'm going, or am I going away from where I am aware I should be going? Am I moving towards God or am I moving away from God? Is my faith so weak that the enemy just has to say don't and I go okay? Or is my faith so strong that the enemy say don't and you say don't what? Don't do that and you say back to the enemy, don't hang out with me then because I'm going after it. It belongs to me. God promised it to me. I've got a purpose. There's an expectancy of completion, of hope in my life. An expectancy of completion of hope in my life. Don't sit today and say, I'll never make it. Sit today and say, I can't wait till I get there. Don't ask God to pull you over to a rest stop so you can rest and beautify yourself. Ask God to keep going because the beauty that you have is Him anyway. Praise God. It is His beauty in our life that keeps us moving forward and understanding who He is. So in other words, never stop praising. Praise all the time. Praise when you're driving. Praise when you're in the store. Praise when you're home. You know, every once in a while it would be all right if you just turned the television off. Whether it's a 55-inch HD screen or if it's a little 12-inch kitchen television. It's black and white that's got bars going up the whole time you're trying to follow the show. You know, it's so old, you look young to it. You know what I mean? You know, you know, just turn it off. And begin to praise Him. Magnify His name. Step out of the bed in the morning. And instead of worrying about where am I going to get my coffee. And I got to go here. I got to go there. Take a moment. Put your hands up before the Lord. And praise Him. At 1:30 in the morning last night. I walked out my door of my home. And I walked out to the driveway. And I looked up through the redwood trees to a starry sky. And I just lifted up my hands for about 3 minutes and I just praised Him. I just thanked Him and just gave Him praise for who He is. You say, you didn't do that, preacher. Well, you know, you need to hang out with me because I do some really great things in the middle of the night. Praise Him. Worship Him. Acknowledge His greatness and His goodness and His mercy in your life. Praise Him when you think you don't have any praise left. Praise Him anyhow. Yes. You don't have anything to praise Him about? Friend, praise Him that you're breathing. Yes. Praise Him that you have a future. Yes. Praise Him that you're saved. Yes. Praise Him that because of who He is, you are who you are. Praise Him that you have a purpose. Praise Him that you have a life. And that life more abundant. Praise Him for what you don't have already. Praise Him for that degree. Praise Him for that position. Praise Him for that service. Praise Him for that wife. Praise Him for that husband. Praise Him for that job. Praise Him for that healing. Praise Him
for the blessing that he's coming into your life, that you know it's on its way. You know, it's easy to praise God when you get a paycheck. It's easy to praise God when there's gas in the car. It's easy to praise God when you sit down at the table and it's fresh food. And it's hot and it's exactly what you wanted. And the best cook cooked it for you. And you're just ready to go. It's easy when your dog is full. It's easy to praise him. It's easy when you got the food for the animals. It's easy when you can close the door to your home and shut out the world to praise him. But friend, let's say you didn't sit down in front of a hot dinner and it wasn't fresh. Maybe you sat down and there was something green on that bread that wasn't there when it was baked a month prior. Or maybe your dog was so hungry that it left and never came back because it found food. It's going to stay there. Maybe the car, when you went to start it, it didn't go. It went. Brr, 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 brr. Maybe when you closed the door to your home, it didn't go click. It went flat because it was a tent. Praise him anyway. Praise him in the valley. Praise him on the hilltop. Praise him on the way up. Praise him on the way down, but never stop praising the King of Glory. Hallelujah. And never stop praying. Let me tell you something. If you don't have anything to pray about, pray for me. I'm a great subject. Don't give up praying. Pray for your children. Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your ministry. Pray for your church. Pray for your employer. Pray for your job. Pray for your enemy. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pray for that dog to stop barking in the middle of the night. Pray whatever it may be, but don't stop praying. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. What it means is you don't walk around and every time somebody talks to you, you go, shh, I'm praying. No, you have to be in the attitude and the consistency of continual prayer in your life, ready to pray at all times, no matter what it is. Because why is it easy to pray? Because you all of a sudden remember you were praising. Then all of a sudden you're praying, praise God. It's easy to pray when you've been praising. Loving God and caring for him. And never stop pursuing your purpose. There's no one step forward and two step back with God. Matter of fact, there's no backward steps with God. It's moving forward with God because you're praising. You're praising. And you have found out through prayer that you have a purpose that no man could have given you. God gave you a purpose that belongs to you. It's got your name engraved on it. Your name is stamped on it. Your name is what God is speaking for you to become. And you're going to move forward in it. And don't stop pursuing it. Don't give up. Amen. Don't be like Peter. You know, he was the fair weather friend of Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to go away. Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem. He said, stop, you're not going there. They're going to kill you there. Jesus is so cool. He doesn't address Peter. He addresses Satan. He says, stand you behind me, Satan. In other words, get away from me. I've got a destiny. And oftentimes people will try to stop you from getting to where you're going. They got all the ideas. They got you down. You know, when somebody, let me tell you, I'm going to give you a little wisdom here. When someone's got you down that good, and someone's got you down to where they're trying to stop you from getting to where you're going, because they've been talking about you. They have been praying about you. They've been talking about you. But let me tell you something. You just need to be like the Lord and say, you know, get behind me. Either get with me or get behind me, but get out of my way. Because I'm heading to where God has called me to go. You say, well, preacher, I lost everything. I don't have anything left. Somebody changed the song from B.B. King blues to some joyful sound of praise. Amen. Yeah. Don't don't be singing no country westerns. I left her at the bar and my car's got no gas and the tires are flat and I'm going to have me another beer. No! Someone shout, praise God! I may not have everything I have now, but I know it's coming. Praise the name of the Lord. Gotta stop singing the blues. Start praising the cheer and the joy of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Old devil wants to get everybody down. Tell you, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to be able to do anything. Don't be like Peter, who looked at the Lord after the Lord said, what's going to happen? And he said, and the Lord told him, everybody's going to deny me. Everybody's going to scatter. In Matthew 26, 31 through 35, and you can read that on your own. Everybody's going to scatter. Of course, Peter, Mr. Don't you go to Jerusalem, said, you know what? Not me, Lord. But somewhere from the not me, Jesus saw him down the road to the deny me. From the not me to the deny me, God has got your number. He wasn't praying. He wasn't praising. He lost something that he thought he had because he was trying to attain it through a connection that wasn't spiritual. It was physical. As long as Jesus was there, everything was okay. As long as they didn't do much to Jesus, it was okay. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they came to get him and Judas came and kissed him on his cheek, and they grabbed Jesus and he said, who is this? And Jesus said, I am he. And they all fell down. Peter goes ahead. He takes a sword out and cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers. Now, I love Jesus. In the midst of all that was just going on, he just came out of a prayer meeting of prayer meetings. He sweated blood. He was praying so deep. He asked God, take this cup from me, but God, if it's your will, I'll go ahead and drink of the cup. But if you want to change your mind now, now's the time to change. He knows everybody's about to scatter. And if you study out the words, you'll know that they ran into the woods. They ran everywhere. One guy left his cloak behind. He ran in there without anything on. He was so afraid. He was running. It didn't matter what he had on now. He's getting out of Dodge. They got Jesus and they don't look happy. It's not a bunch of Pharisees right now coming and questioning him. They got Jesus and Peter just cut off somebody's ear. Way to go, Peter. Way to get him madder. Way to do it. Way to get him more angry. Way to do it. Way to go. You know, way to stop Jesus. Way to cut off somebody's ear. Bless him now. God bless Peter. Jesus reaches down, pick up the guy's ear. Now, I love the graphics of the Bible. An ear comes off and hits the ground. Now, I want you to know this guy just didn't go, oh, my ear's gone. He probably went, ah! And just hit the ground like, oh, my God, he cut my ear off. He was saying that in Hebrew, of course. So, and he's going, oh, man. And you know when you cut your head, you know that all the blood is up there. Like you cut a little slit, you go like that, and you got a big pool of blood. You go, oh, my God, I'm dying. Got all this happening. It's really there. And he's going like, ah. Jesus reaches down, picks up the ear, puts it back on his head. You all don't get this, do you? You're like, oh, okay. When's this one? This is coming to the theater next week, right? You know, like the earless man. But let me tell you, he put his ear back on his head. And then he takes time to tell everybody, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. So put your sword away. They are all on the ground still. This guy doesn't have an ear. He's got an ear. He's healed and everything else. And for some reason, they don't stop to say, hey, maybe this is the Son of God. Yeah, really. Their anger and their bitterness and their hatred and their dismay and their jealousy and their prejudice for who he was blinded them to the power that he had. Sometimes I wonder in church, we don't walk in those kind of blindings. That we forget the power that he has and who he is in our life and what he can do. The devil may come by and cut something off of you. Let me tell you something. Jesus is ready to stop right where he's at. And he's ready to pick up whatever the devil cut off. And he's ready to place it right back into your destiny again. Amen. It doesn't matter if it fell to the ground. It doesn't matter if you cried and you submitted to it. What Jesus is saying, he's ready to pick it up. Put it on, and you move forward in him. That man went home that night. I'm sure he sat down with his wife at his table and said, you wouldn't believe it. You see that here? That was detached today. Do you see any sky? Jesus touched me today. Well, where's Jesus? Well, they're crucifying him, but you know what? Look at my ear. You see, secondly, we get to the point where Jesus touches us. We forget to even care about him anymore. We're just so glad we're healed. You're telling everybody, I'm healed, look at me. We forget what it took for you to get healed. The praise. The prayer. And realizing he has restored your purpose. You see, God wants to bless you. So we find then in the scripture, Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Jesus tells Peter prior to that, you're going to, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. No, not me. Not me. He goes out there and he took off. They all left Jesus standing there with all the soldiers. You know that. They didn't hang out and say, we're going with him. Take us. We're going with him. You know, we're part of the gang here. Now, come on now. We're coming. They ran. They scattered. It got serious. It wasn't a temple meeting. This was the Garden of Gethsemane meeting. This was prophesied. This was going to happen. They scattered. Peter takes off and he starts hanging out just at a distance away to see what they're doing to Jesus. And every time they do something to Jesus, he gets a little bit further away. He gets so further away that if you study the scripture there in Matthew 26, 69 through 75, you will find that he began to warm himself around the fire. You see, he got so far away with his attachment now to the one, you're not going, to the cutting off of the ear, that he's so far away now, he's hanging out with the people of the world, and he's denied him twice already, and then all of a sudden they ask him again, because he's gotten so close to the world, he's warming himself around all that secular humanism and all the other denials, and it didn't matter now because he had seen Jesus getting beat up, he's getting smacked, he's getting spit upon. He's being taken from one location to another, not just literally in a little buggy, but they're dragging him along. He's warming himself. He's got himself all ready. Aren't you? I recognize you. You hung out with Jesus, didn't you? And all of a sudden, to show his stuff, his humanity comes out, he starts cussing and cursing. Probably in our day, he probably would have lit up a cigarette, took a drag, blew a smoke ring. Maybe looked at the guy and went, what's up? He just started cussing, he started cursing, he started doing everything he could. He said no, and then the rooster crows. He's reminded of who he was. Not who he is, but who he was. You see, we have to understand we want to be who we are in Jesus Christ. And the Lord will find you if you're at a distance, and he will remind you of what you once prayed, how you praised him, and what you were seeking after in your purpose. But somewhere along the line, you took a left, took a right. Somewhere along the line, you decided that you're going to do your own thing because God isn't moving fast enough. Let me tell you something about the Lord. God's delays are not delays of inactivity, but of preparation. God is preparing you. You think God just gave up on you one day? Man, I don't know about the God you serve, but I'm telling you about the God I serve. He doesn't give up on us. He does not give up on us at all. God cares and God blesses us and God will be there for us. His delay is just a matter of preparing you for the blessing that He has for you. A blessing that is marvelous and powerful. You're not on any detour. God knows the steps because He's ordered them from the foundations of the earth. He knows your prayer before you pray it. He hears your praise before you praise it. He knows your purpose before you were born. He knows exactly where you are right now, February 17th, 2013. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you desire. He knows everything about you. And guess what? He's got your future in His hands. He's got your tomorrow prepared and ready. He's got your week set before you. He's got your year set before you. And He knows the day He will call your last breath home. He knows every hair on your head, whether they belong to you or not. He knows everything about you. He knows how you think, how you talk, how you walk, and how you are in your heart. God knows you. It's not a delay. Daniel 10, he fasted 21 days not eating. It's crying out to God. And the angel shows up, said, God heard you the first time you mentioned the prayer. But I got caught up in the heaven fighting the devil to get to you. Now I'm paraphrasing. Fighting the devil to get to you. I couldn't get through. So God sent the archangel to fight that battle because what I was fighting was too strong for me. The archangel defeated the enemy, got him going one direction, and I slipped through the other side to bring you the answer. Everything's going to be all right. Amen. Oh, someone shout, praise God, everything's going to be all right. You sit there and look at me like, okay, hurry. You're at 32 minutes. You got six more to go. Let me tell you something. That tells me you don't know everything's all right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, everything's going to be all right at Hope for the Bay. Everything's going to be all right in your family. Everything's going to be all right on your job. Everything's going to be all right in your ministry. Everything's going to be all right at Winterfest. Everything's going to be all right with those young people. Everything's going to be all right with a new children's church. Everything's going to be all right with the harvest. Everything's going to be all right. Somebody say it's going to be all right. Amen. All right. Just remember to be persistent, like that widow woman. Be persistent. Wear Him out. But that didn't mean for you to go wear out God, because God is ready to act immediately. What it's saying is that you don't have to wear out Him. You don't have to do it, but be persistent. The Bible is so clear in these scriptures. I love these scriptures here. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. You say, preacher, I don't even know if I can get to Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Ephesians 3, 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be sympathized with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hebrews 10 and 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. When I pray, preacher, I don't know if he really hears me. Let me tell you, when you pray according to his will, he will respond to you. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that have been asked of him. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we to be persistent, but be precise. Don't ask for a bicycle. Ask for a yellow bicycle with a leather seat, with monkey bar handles and big old red tires. Ask for something that's precise. Don't ask for just a car. Ask for a red Beetle. Volkswagen. Don't ask for just something like, I want a sandwich. Describe the sandwich you want, praise God. Don't talk about asking for ice cream at the local grocery store. Tell God you want the gas money to get the Clancy's, praise God. You get to where God wants you to be. You ask precisely. You ask persistently. You tell God exactly what you want, and you watch God start the preparation for you. Lastly, be patient. Isaiah 40, 31. I love what it says here. It's so powerful. I love it because it says it this way in the Amplified. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Ask. Be patient. He will be there for you. Keep alert at all times, always looking for the response from God. Don't just give up. A girl came to me in Salida, California, going through a terrible marriage. Terrible. She said, I just got a book, Pastor, at Beardsley's Bible Bookstore here in Modesto, and it's the greatest book I ever read. I said, well, what's it about? She goes, it says, all I have to do is ask God once. Just ask him once and never ask him again. Because if I ask him again, that means my faith is no good. She looked at me and I looked at her for about a minute. I was just sitting there, how can I deal with this gently? And I finally said, I'm just going to say it how it is. I said, I want you to go home and I want you to take that book. Don't take it back to the bookstore. I will pay you for that book. I don't want you to return it. I want you to take it to the local dumpster and throw it in there where it could never be found. I says, because the Bible says you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking till the answer comes. You don't give up. Praise God. If you feel like you're asking too much, begin praising him for it. If the for it don't bring it, then begin to ask him for more of it. Amen. But be persistent. Don't give up till it comes. You're looking for something in your life today. You're looking for something in your life that you want to have happen. Why do you quit asking? Why do you stop? Praise God. Just keep going after it like a hound dog goes after a raccoon. Don't stop till you tree it. It's yours. You know what I'm saying? You just got to do it. Got to go after it and care for it. The widow had no lawyer, but we have a high priest at the throne of God in heaven. She had no promises, but we have a Bible filled with the promises we can claim. She was an outsider, but we are the children of God. What a privilege it is to praise, pray, and to have a purpose.